That's one of the best parts of being a minister. I enjoy those so much. This morning's scripture is from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and I'll be reading from chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. And the words are on the screen, or you can follow along in the Bible if you like. Once, when Jesus was praying in private with his disciples, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Verse 21, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words and the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. You have to forgive me. I'm about to sing something, but my voice is a little compromised today. Day by day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. Of course, those are the words from Godspell, the musical, and the words to Day by Day, a song that was made popular many, many years ago, and somewhat a controversial making of at the time. But if you consider these words that were just sung, you know that they are prayer. And the person singing is singing to Jesus. And that is her prayer, that she would see Jesus more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly, day by day. And so as we consider these words and as we put them in context with the scripture before us today, we begin to understand that the call here is not about us. But the call here is about denying the self, denying ourselves and following Jesus so that we can realize, that we can see, that we can have clarity, that we can love, that we can have devotion for one another, but for God, and ultimately that we can have discipleship or fellowship one with the other. And so this call that is before us to follow Jesus and take up our cross is a call to lay down our lives, to set ourselves aside, and to follow Christ. It was Rick Warren who years ago in the late 80s, early 90s wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and in it he said, "It's not about you, it's all about him." The first line of that book, and it was very powerful if you just read that and nothing else. Think about that. It's not about us, it's all about him. This changes our perspective, does it not, when we think about that? And so in Luke chapter 9, What we have before us here in these short verses is a lot of things, but a call to discipleship, a call to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for many people, following Christ can be most tangibly and practically represented in the context in which we live. I mean, all of us know, or at least realize, that there are people that have gone out to foreign countries to serve. And they're called global servants in our denomination, most commonly known as missionaries. People that go and spread the gospel all around the world, they took literally that great command of Christ, the Great Commission, to go into all the world. And I don't know if you followed in the news here recently, but there was a tragedy in Haiti where a young missionary couple were killed. And unfortunately, for their families, they lost those loved ones. But their memory lives on in their service to God. They paid that ultimate price. They laid down their lives because they were faithful to Jesus Christ. And that's what they were there for. We may not be the people that go to Haiti and Costa Rica and, you know, Central America and the Caribbean and all those kinds of third world places or even elsewhere in the world. We may not be those people, but we can serve in this context. This is our mission field, right here in Greenville and Bond County in the surrounding area. This is where we live. And so we as Christians here can be those missionaries to our cities, our suburbs, our villages, our countrysides, where we can share. Verses 21 and 22 of this passage might throw us for a little bit of a loop. It does when you first read it. After Peter declared that Jesus was the Christ or the Messiah, Jesus tells his disciples there, don't tell anyone. That doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the gospel story later on when he tells us to go into all the world. Why does he say that to them when Peter, of all people, has finally come to his senses and declared, you are the Christ? He asked personally of all of the disciples gathered there, and Peter, being the spokesman, says, you are Christ, God's Messiah that has come. But we must understand that this was still a difficult time, and it was still not that moment at which Jesus was ready to reveal himself to all the world explicitly. He had revealed himself to the disciples. He had revealed himself to those in which he had performed miracles and the like. But it wasn't time yet, because there were people that were concerned about who he was and the power that he had and how he might try to overthrow their government and infringe upon their religious rights. And so he didn't want that to get out before it was necessary for it to be known. And so he tells them just not to tell anyone. Even in our context, in our world today, right where we are here in Greenville this morning, we are called to deny ourselves, just like the disciples were, just like those modern-day missionaries were that were killed in Haiti. Why is this? Verses 23 and 24 make it clear. Then Jesus said to them all, and that means all of his disciples, he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, meaning follow me, if anyone would follow me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. This particular scripture is included in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and within our scripture. And two of those Gospels, it's mentioned more than on one occasion. So it was important. But in Luke's Gospel, it includes the word daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I don't know about you, but each and every day is a little bit different. And there are some days that you really need to remind yourself to pick up the cross and follow Christ. Because the world comes crashing in on us and sending us messages that we know are incorrect. But yet we do sometimes do our own thing. This is a reversal of what the world tells us, isn't it? When Christ tells his disciples and really tells all of us that we must deny ourselves, that we must give up ourselves in order to gain life. It's hard to understand in our world today because the world tells us that it's all about us. And Jesus is saying, no, no, it's all about me and it's all about my Father and following him. Then you will experience life as it was intended. And so we deny ourselves to identify with our Savior. That's why we do it. We deny ourselves so that we can experience Jesus, that we can understand him more clearly, to see him, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly. You see, Christ denied himself too, didn't he? And he is our example. Like the old hymn says, you know, he left the splendors of heaven and he came down to be with us. Can you imagine that? Having that taste and that glimpse and being there from the beginning as Jesus was. And we find in the book of Genesis that he was there and the Holy Spirit was there with God when they created the world together. But to have been part of all that and then all of a sudden have to leave it. It's like going to heaven and having to come back to this world. Whatever your views of heaven, we know that most people think that it's a lot better than this world is ever going to be. And so Jesus left all of that, and he came down to be with us. He gave up. He denied himself in his human form and in his godly form. And yet he found ultimate life, not through his life here on earth, but through his death, through the dying to himself. And so Christians, my fellow believers in Jesus Christ today and Christ followers, we believe that Christ took up this cross, that he did it not for himself, but for all of us. And therefore, if we desire to be Christ-like, and I believe we do, then we must take up our crosses daily, and we must deny ourselves and what it is that we want, and consider ultimately what it is that Jesus requires of us, even when it means laying down something that's very, very special and important to us. The Apostle Paul said it so well in Philippians when he wrote to the church there at Philippi in chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is a gain." You know, if you really are following Christ, you'll understand what that scripture means. You'll understand what Paul meant when he said it. To live is Christ. There isn't anything else. That's it. That's the ultimate. But to die is to gain heaven. So that's what he meant there. We may all know about denial in one sense or another. Of course, we know that this same Peter in today's scripture that said, "You are the Christ, you are God's Messiah," this same Peter was the one that denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times elsewhere in the Gospels. Peter is that same person that denied Christ those three times when he was confronted about his identity of who he was and where his allegiances would lie. And he denied Christ each and every time. Jesus predicted that he would. But let's not be so quick to judge Peter, because we too often deny Christ in this world. Even the best followers, even those who know Jesus and have followed him closely for all of their lives, we all deny Jesus in some way. Sometimes it's the same way that Peter did. You know, when we're out with our buddies or hanging out with friends that maybe don't see things the way that we do, we might give a little bit or give a lot and become someone that we're really not. And this is one way in which we deny Christ. We rationalize these denials too, don't we? We say, well, it's just not convenient for me right now. Or it's not comfortable for me to follow Christ at this time, but someday I will. You know, I want to live my life and do the things I want to do first, and then I'll follow Christ. Then I'll do what he wants me to do. And sometimes we say, well, it's just not in our own self-interest to follow Christ. And so these are the things that we do. However, in those denials, we can rarely claim, like Peter did, being concerned about our persecution or what danger might come to us. And that is one of the reasons that Peter denied Jesus, because he was fearful that they would kill him. And so we cannot really believe that in today's world, although we see that happening from time to time in places. And I would say that it may happen even more in our world, depending on where you live and who you're involved with. But Peter did deny Christ, but he later came to his senses and he said that he was the Messiah. But we cannot, like him, deny Jesus Christ because of persecution or because of danger that might be awaiting us. And then Jesus says in verse 26 of our scripture, if anyone is ashamed of me, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. Can you imagine that? Let's just break this down a little bit here. If your parents were ashamed of you and that they denied you, how would that make you feel? And so the same could apply here. Jesus is saying, if anyone is ashamed of me or ashamed of my words, then I will be ashamed of them when the time comes for them in glory. That time in which we stand before the throne of judgment, he will deny us. He will deny knowing us. Think long and hard about that as you consider your life today. The call to deny ourselves does not advocate, though, low self-esteem, meaning that we always need to be, you know, so low and down and meek and weak. That's what the world tells us what that means, but it's not what it means at all. Instead, it's a call to reorient ourselves. It's a call to reorient ourselves to Jesus Christ and his ways in which we live our lives. It's not about us, it's all about him. And only when God is at the center of our lives, only when we're doing what Christ called us to do and deny ourselves and take up our cross, can we really experience the radical transformation that is spoken of so often throughout Scripture. And it is only when we are living for Jesus Christ and the radical transformation can also occur within today's church. And this is necessary and more needed than ever before in the churches in America today, especially mainline churches that are in vast decline and closing doors on a regular basis. We must deal with that, but we must first and foremost realize that it is not about us, it's not about what we want, but it's all about what Jesus wants and what Jesus died for. And to help others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now I ask you the same question that Jesus asked of Peter. Yes, Jesus first of all wanted to know, what are the crowds saying about me? Well, they thought he was John the Baptist or Elijah or some other prophet from old. And then Jesus made it personal to his disciples. But who do you say that I am? And so as Christ's minister today, I would ask all of us the same question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he someone that just makes you feel comfortable? Is he someone that's assured you that you'll have a home in heaven when you die? Is he that someone that offers you that space on Sunday mornings that you can come to and find love and acceptance? And these are good things. But he's more than that. He's much, much more than that. He is the Messiah. He is God's Son. He is the Christ of God. And to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah then requires a response from us. It requires action. It requires us to do something. And not just say it, but to do something about it. It would be like Isaiah when he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." He didn't say, send me where it's comfortable, send me where I'd like to go, send me to the tropics, send me across to some great paradise. He just said, here am I, send me wherever you want. I'm ready to serve. This should be the attitude of the church today. This should be the attitude of all Christians today. Here we are, Lord. Tell us what to do and send us, and we'll do it. We'll make it happen. We need to be willing then to take up that cross every single day and follow Jesus. And that must be our response. His agenda for us also seems clear, doesn't it? All of us, that we are to pick up that cross, that we are to follow him daily. But I want to make clear here today that the cross is not to be confused with the storms of this life. It's two different, totally different things. When we're following Jesus Christ and taking up our cross, you think about the ramifications of carrying that cross. You think about what Jesus did hanging on that cross. You know, and people will tell you when you lose a loved one, well, that's your cross to bear. First of all, how rude does that sound? Or you're young, or, you know, you have a child that's lost. Well, you're young, you can start again. How rude is that? It's terrible pastoral care. We should never say things like that to people. But we should not consider those things the crosses to bear, because who in their right mind among us would consider losing a loved one or losing a child or having cancer is, well, that's your cross to bear. This is something that's a storm in life. It's a result of sin that enters into our world that we have to experience and go through these things. Not that Christ causes them, but he's aware of them and we struggle with them. But this is not the cross that we're talking about. These are the day-to-day things. Like Paul, who talked about the thorn in his side, and we don't ever really know what that thorn was. It could have been something physical, like cancer or something like that. He writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17, and talks about that thorn that's in his flesh. And there's much speculation among scholars and theologians as to what it was. But whatever it was uncomfortable and it was unpleasant. I think that following Jesus Christ is one of the greatest joys of my life. And serving him all of these years has been one of the most wonderful things that I could have ever done with my life. But it hasn't come without its difficulties, without the hurts and the pains that are associated with serving him and his people. Bearing the cross is a much different matter. We choose to take up that cross. We choose to take up those things. These other events that we've referenced today are things that happened to us, but we didn't choose them. We didn't want them. But we say to the cross, we choose you. We choose to take up that cross daily. We choose to follow Jesus Christ. It's a decision that we make. And we have to do things that we don't always want to do. Sing songs that we don't know. Reach out to people who aren't like us. Help to those that are in need in our community. These are things that Jesus said, if you do them, you're doing them unto me. It's part of picking up the cross. It's part of the difficulty of carrying the cross. You may not want to do it. It may not fit your schedule. It may be uncomfortable for you. Do it anyway. Because what Christ did for you on the cross, and because you too choose to pick up and carry that cross. As we close this morning, I want to look at the final couple of verses here. Verse 25, what good is it for a person to gain the whole world and yet forfeit themselves or their soul? What good is it? We gain all the praise, all the accolation, all the trophies, all the awards, all these things, and yet forfeit our souls. What good is it? It's no good. It's no good at all. It's no good at all. Verse 25, for whoever wants to serve, wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses it, their life for me will save it. That's what the scripture says. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? And then he goes on to say, Jesus goes on to talk about being ashamed. There's a lot of greed in our world today. There's a lot of self-centeredness in our world today. And yes, my friends, there's a lot of greed in the church. There's a lot of self-centeredness that goes on in churches today as well. We may gain power, we may gain prestige, we may gain wealth, but what does it accomplish if we don't know Jesus and we do not have our souls in eternity? And I would say today that the church has run and is running the risk of losing the next generation for some of the reasons that I've mentioned here today and more. The world will always tell us that it's important to have your name in lights, that it's important to be recognized, that it's important to be educated and wealthy and to be liked. And these are not necessarily all bad things, but when they take the place of following Jesus Christ, your heart is in the wrong place. Your mind is being confused by the ways of the world. Christ tells us the opposite of what the world tells us. If you want to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose it for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, you will save it. May we not put off these possibilities that are before us today, that God has offered to us as his faithful followers. Let's make sure that his agenda is our agenda, not only personally, but for the church, universal. Let us welcome a hurting world that is in need of encouragement and love and support and inspiration and assistance from Christ's body, that's you today, the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's be to them the church. As far as I am concerned, and as far as I read the scriptures, this is what church is to be all about. This is who the church is and should be. And I'm proud of the things that we have done here in this church to reach a lost and dying world. We need to continue with that plan because it's not our plan, it's God's plan. What is the church all about? Now, this last verse, and I'm going to close with this, verse 27 is kind of an odd way to end this verse, but this is how Jesus ends it. He said, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Does this mean they're not going to die, that they're going to be taken up? Well, that's elsewhere in the Bible, but this happens right before what is called the Transfiguration in the Bible, and it's actually the next set of scriptures here beginning at verse 28. And it's when Jesus and James and Peter and John are up on the mountain and they see there Moses and Elijah, and Peter, James, and John say, "Hey, this is great. Let's hang out up here for a while." And Jesus says, no. We have to go back down. You know, people have high moments. They experience high spiritual events, but you have to come down and deal with reality and deal with the hurts and the pains of the world. It's great on Sunday morning, but it's throughout the week where we really do our ministry. So I want you to consider giving your heart and your life to Christ today. I invite you to do that if you haven't done it. And to take up your cross if you've never done it before, or done it like I've referenced here today, like the scriptures talk about. If God's Spirit has spoken to you, then begin following him. Whether you tell us here publicly today or whether you tell someone privately later, that is my prayer for you today, that you will answer this call to discipleship and that you will follow Christ by taking up your cross daily and following him. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 292. Because He Lives. And the Old Rugged Cross and Because He Lives are special to Chloe and Ethan, and that's why those two songs are being sung today. It's very sweet how you told me about those two songs, and so we've included them today. So let's stand and sing this closing hymn, and think about Because of Christ Living, what that means for you, and how you can face this world because He lives.